Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CommunityProgressiveRadio.org. I'm home today. I'm taking a few days off tour de piece. My oldest grandson, Jonah, his fifth birthday is this week, so I had to be home to celebrate with him. Happy birthday, Jonah. Gigi loves you. And so I had time today to record a new show. And my guest is somebody whom I've admired her for a long, long time. I think she's a woman of great integrity, great courage, and she's very articulate. And that's Margaret Kimberly. And Margaret is an editor and columnist for the Black Agenda Report. And I don't know what I would have done these past 5 years without the Black Agenda Report. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with my great guest, Margaret Kimberly. And we'll be speaking about an article she recently wrote about the FBI's renewed vigor against Sister Asada Shakur.
Margaret Kimberly, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Margaret, I just want to say that I love Black Agenda Report. I love the work that you all do, but I especially admire you. I think you're a woman of great integrity, and you're very articulate, and I always look forward to your articles. Your column is called Freedom Writer, right?
Yes, it is.
And so you recently wrote, and I think you're like the heart and soul of Black Agenda Report. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Okay, so you recently wrote an article about Asada Shakur. And can you just briefly fill my listeners in about why she was in Cuba, and what recently happened to her case?
Sure. In the late 70s, Asada Shakur was a member of the Black Panthers and Black Liberation Army. In the early 70s, 72 to be exact, she and some of her compatriots were stopped on the New Jersey Turnpike. There was a shooting with police, and a state trooper and one of her comrades were killed. She was convicted of killing the trooper, even though forensic evidence showed that she could not have fired the gun. She was shot and very seriously injured herself.
Uh-huh.
But she was convicted by a jury, not of her peers, I hasten to add, and was sentenced to life in prison. In the early 80s, she managed to escape from prison, and she ended up in Cuba. She was given asylum by the Cuban government. And she's not been heard from or heard of in many years until 2 weeks ago, when the FBI labeled her a domestic terrorist and added $1 million to, there was already $1 million bounty on her head, now a $2 million reward for her capture. It was very odd that after all this time, Asada Shakur's name came up.
Right.
But this is, you know, it's a perfect example of what we at Black Agenda Report have been saying about Barack Obama. He's not the lesser of two evils. He's just the more effective evil. And this is one of the ways, one of the things he can get away with. A Republican or a white Democrat would not be able to get away with resurrecting this case that was all but forgotten, putting up wanted posters in Newark, New Jersey, when everyone knows she's in Cuba. But it's very dangerous to be labeled a terrorist, obviously, because the president, you know, it's interesting, Bush claimed the right to detain, kidnap, or render anybody he wanted, but Obama actually claims the right to kill anyone he wants. He can claim someone's a terrorist. They use some sort of secret drumhead court, and that kill list. They have actually have a meeting every week and decide who is going to get snuffed out by the United States government. So Barack Obama is claiming the right to kill Assata Shakur, to have her kidnapped. She can be held indefinitely without being charged or tried. But not only is she in danger, but so is anyone who communicates with her or defends her in any way.
Right.
When the Supreme Court decided that it was constitutional to be charged with giving material support to terror, which is very vague. It means anything the government says it means. Anyone who contacts Assata Shakur, who helps her in any way, can be charged with giving material support to a terrorist. So it's dangerous for her, dangerous to anyone who helps her, dangerous to the Cuban government also. Cuba is on the list of nations arbitrarily designated as being state sponsors of terrorism. So Barack Obama has made a career, a political career, out of getting away with things that other people could not.
Well, before I ask you why, you know, I was so confused when they did this, first of all, but it does have some really frightening implications. But I've read other articles about this, and I heard Angela Davis and Assata Shakur's attorney on Democracy Now! Talk about it. I just read an article that Alice Walker wrote about Assata Shakur, and not one of them ever mentions that it was Obama and Obama's FBI and Department of Justice who actually did this. And you just very courageously and straightforward point out that, you know, and you did say that it would take a person of color as president and as attorney general to be able to get away with this. And so the other people are talking about, you know, what she did, and they're saying how brave she is and how dangerous this is for the Black Liberation Movement. But they're not actually making the connection between Barack Obama and his Department of Justice.
Well, it's very typical. He can, you know, say that Assata Shakur is a terrorist. He can cut Social Security. He can say he has the right to kill people. He can bail out the banks. He can. I could go on and on and on, but nobody ever mentions his name. You know, the public school closing, the destruction of the public education system in favor of charter schools, it starts at the top. And you know, people go, Melissa Harris Perry and other people go on and on, is this racist? And nobody mentions his name. He is the president. Mm-hmm. People who love Obama, they're very funny. On the one hand, they talk about how smart he is and how in control he is. But if there's something they don't agree with, suddenly they just leave his name out as if this could happen without it's his Justice Department, his FBI, his Attorney General, who works at his pleasure. And if they had not gotten the green light from him, this never would have happened. And it was the Democracy Now! Interview was otherwise good with Angela Davis and Shakur's attorney, Lennox Hines, but neither of them mentioned, and Amy Goodman didn't, no one mentioned the name Barack Obama, which was truly astounding to me.
Well, and the thing is I think because whenever Obama does something like sign the Monsanto Protection Act or, they can always point to the Republicans and say, oh, it was a Republican's fault. The Republicans made him do it. But in the case of someone like Anwar al-Awlaki or Abdul Rahman al-Awlaki, Anwar's son, or this Assata Shakur thing, they really... How can they say that the right wing or the Republicans are pressuring Obama to do this? They can't, so they just don't talk about it.
Right, especially now he's a lame duck. Before it was, well, he needs to do this in order to get reelected.
Right.
Like, well, now what's the problem? He's a lame duck. If he ever had a time to be free, it should be right now. But instead, we're seeing the true nature of the American presidency and the fact that one can't get Obama or any of his predecessors or anybody who comes after him. You don't get to be president without passing muster with the 1%, with the with powers of imperialism, and that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing just seeing old-fashioned imperialism around the world. You know, Reagan tried to kill Gaddafi and then ultimately gave up, but Barack Obama succeeded in getting Gaddafi killed. With working hand in hand with NATO, which now has no function other than to support Western imperial adventures. So I don't understand. It's difficult to explain how people go through these mental gymnastics to let him off the hook for doing such terrible things. But I wanted to mention one more thing that has come up that people have mentioned in the last few days. About a month or so ago, Jay-Z and Beyonce went to Cuba. And at the time, I didn't pay any attention because, as I like to say, I would like to go 48 hours without hearing anything about Beyonce, which never seems to happen. But at any rate, so I just sneered and didn't pay attention. And now there are some people who conjecture that Jay-Z was, in fact, an envoy of sorts for the Obama administration, talking to the Cuban government. Trying to get, you know, because this is a very dangerous time. Hugo Chavez has died. Fidel and Raul Castro are in their 80s. This is a perfect moment for the United States to reassert itself in Latin America and really crush the left-wing governments. And there is conjecture that Assata Shakur was part of some deal. The United States will drop its blockade, but the price is you've got to give up Assata Shakur, which is it's typical of Obama. We used to talk about Clinton's triangulations. Well, you know, Clinton had nothing on Barack Obama. So on the one hand, he can look like a hero to those progressives who can't bear to criticize him anyway. And then on the other hand, he can give in to the right wing and snatch Assata Shakur without any of the people who otherwise would protest against it doing so. So we'll see how that pans out. It's not, to me, an implausible version of events, but we'll find out as time goes on.
So the U.S. is sending pop stars to foreign countries to
Why
do
not?
Diplomacy.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's perfect. I was thinking about it, and I said, well, you know, he's it makes sense. Jay-Z's a, you know, a mover and a shaker and an Obama fundraiser and a wealthy man.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense. He's the kind of person he'd be in touch with. Nobody would think about that because he and his wife were entertainers, and, you know, no one, that wouldn't come to anybody's mind right away. But then I thought about it. Jay-Z is also, you know, he didn't get to be where he and what he is without becoming conservative. He made some rather foolish comments. I just thought they were stupid comments at the time that we need less government. And he was very dismissive of the Occupy movement. And he can't criticize people for trying to make money. And he's a part owner of the New York Nets. And it's here in New York, it's one of examples of many very wealthy people getting the public to pay for their projects, arena in Brooklyn, the Barclays Center, which was paid for with public funds. Very wealthy people own the Nets, but the taxpayers of New York State and New York City are the ones who actually paid for it. But Jay-Z at the same time,
right,
with small government, and I'm like, well, that's not small government to me, but it benefits the 1%, so, you know, so that counts. So, you know, thinking about him and his politics, I didn't realize it didn't make any sense that he suddenly was visiting Cuba. So I think there is, I can give some.
Right, exactly. And from what I understand, he got a visa from our side to go visit Cuba.
From the State Department, because when he was criticized, they immediately said the administration gave him permission to go.
That's amazing to me.
It is. So we'll
you know,
see how
it shakes out.
Yeah.
Well, I have a very special place in my heart for Cuba. I've been down there several times. I never got permission from our government to go there, though. And, you know, so I, you know, this the implications for this entire thing to me are enormous. I know that the revolution has been struggling to stay alive, and like you said, Hugo Chavez really gave the Cuban Revolution a huge shot in the arm with his, you know, diplomacy and friendship with Cuba. But you know, there's precedent for someone being on the terrorist list to be actually just taken out with a Hellfire missile. And it's not like Obama hasn't done that to an American citizen and plus thousands of other people around the world.
Yes. Yes, of course. He can do it if he wants to. You know, the way that the black community has silenced itself over Obama is such a terrible tragedy. I think it's going to take decades for black people to recover from what seemed to be a big victory in having a black president. But in just standing down and giving up our historic role as the most, you can argue black Americans have always been the most progressive group of people in the country. And to give all that up for the sake of having this man in office, without any demand, without getting anything in return, never have so many loved someone so much and gotten so little in return. It's the worst political deal in history, I like to say. In return for seeing him in the White House, for you know, seeing Michelle Obama in a you know looking beautiful at a state dinner, we've given up our right to speak, to demand, to agitate, and we have been the people. Who, prior to Obama becoming president, were the ones who were most likely to do that and helping not only ourselves, but I would argue the entire country. But that's over, and I don't think it's going to change until Obama is out of office. So we've got almost 4 more years to go before there's a semblance of sanity among the majority of black people, I'm afraid to say.
Well, I have, you know, in my community, it's also very dangerous to criticize Obama, you know, and I'm talking about the peace movement, which, or the anti-war movement, which is mostly white, you know, and it's mostly you know, middle-aged people, not a lot of young, unfortunately, there's not a lot of diversity in my movement, but if I criticize Obama, then my own community calls me a racist. And they say that, you know, they're giving Obama free passes for doing things that they would have gone crazy if George Bush did them, or if McCain did them, or if Romney did them. And so so how does the Black Agenda Report, like, you guys have always been very, and I don't even want to say you're, like, hard on Obama, you're just telling the truth. How do you survive in your community doing that?
Well, it's not always easy. I'm not going to lie, but we're committed. We're committed to the truth, and we say we report the news from a black left perspective, and we're not changing that because he's in office. Mm-hmm. We feel an obligation to do what we do and not to change what we say about him. Because, and it is true, much of the criticism on the right directed at Obama is racist. There are people who just can't, you know, Donald Trump he just can't stand the idea that there's a black man as president. He just can't. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. And much of the rest of the criticism on the right wing is racist. But that does not mean that he is our friend. Anyone who cuts Social Security is no friend to black people. No friend to anybody in the country, really. That's giving in to, he's the one who makes right-wing dreams come true, things that nobody else could get away with. We saw some of this with Clinton. Democrats were so happy, and I'm embarrassed to admit it now, but when Clinton was in the White House, I was of that thought that it was so valuable to have a Democrat in the White House, and the Republicans were so terrible, and even if we didn't like everything he did, we had to accept it. So I understand somewhat why people feel that way, but this is a different time. We're supposed to grow up, and people who are really pro-peace have to start disengaging, I believe, from the electoral system altogether.
Especially the two parties.
Absolutely. So I have no problem voting for Green Party candidates for president, because if you, I don't know what Democrats have to do before people are comfortable saying that there isn't any difference. But what more do they have to, I mean, Social Security, it used to be called the third rail of politics, right? You couldn't touch it. If you touch it, you die. And now it's being touched. I don't know what else Democrats have to do. But the Republicans now, because they're so reactionary, and the real difference now, I think, is more on the basis of so-called social issues, for lack of a better term. So Democrats are in favor of marriage equality, and that's good, so am I. But I don't think that absolves them when they do things like, well, the Obama Justice Department getting phone records from Associated Press reporters and editors. And that is the kind of thing, as you said, if Bush had done it, there'd be an outcry. And there should still be an outcry because a Democrat has done it. But Obama has prosecuted whistleblowers more than any other president in recent years. It's just one more example of the things that he gets away with because the people who opposed him are so hated by liberals, and I don't like Rush Limbaugh or Sarah Palin or any of those people. But their condemnation is not a reason for me to just suspend disbelief and act as if this man is acting in my interest and the interest of most people on the planet when he is not.
I was at an exercise class last night. I'm actually just taking a break from riding my bike across the country, talking about these same issues that we've been talking about. I had to come home for my grandson's 5th birthday. But I was at the gym last night in an exercise class, and one of my friends said something like, yeah, Obama's like bringing all the Mexicans up to take our jobs. I said, well, you must watch Fox News, because actually Obama has deported more immigrants than any other president, 1.6 million immigrants. He's not a friend to immigrants. He's going to do what's going to be profitable for the 1%. And so, you know, at least get your information straight. I mean, I don't like Obama. I don't like him because he has deported 1.6 million people and torn families apart.
Yes. Exactly. That's just one example, but lo and behold, he's still got the Latino vote. And it's an example of the Republicans. I think eventually the Republicans will find a way to, you know, frankly, market themselves better. They're still, I saw a poll recently that showed George Bush still being highly unpopular, even though he hasn't been president now for more than 4 years. But their image will eventually be on the mend, and when they figure out how to dump the people who are against gay marriage and against abortion and talk about the disparage Latinos among other groups so much, when they figure that out, I believe the Democrats will once again be at an electoral disadvantage once the Republicans figure out how to market themselves.
Well, of course, the people at the top, like Obama and Biden, are very socially conservative. You know, they'll say, well, personally, and then I think the only reason the Obamas came out in favor of it is for fundraising, and it was politically expedient to do so when he did it.
Sure, he doesn't really care.
He's personally in favor of it, but he's going to let the states decide, which we both know is just means that you're going to have a smaller institution oppressing people, not the federal government, just your state.
Right.
So, and that's what Ron Paul says all the time. Ron Paul says he's in favor of states oppressing people, but not the federal government. And Barack Obama says the exact same thing.
He does. But if you dare suggest he was, you know, on the akin to Ron Paul in any way, as we've just been saying, we'd you know, either be laughed out of the room or told off, depending on the mood of the person we were talking to. So, but it's, you know, to get back to what you were asking before, it is difficult to be this outlier, but it's necessary for, mm-hmm. for someone in this country to stand up for the truth and not to be taken in by this man who is beholden to the worst interests in the world. You don't get to be president unless you have. So I was on Twitter the other night, and someone said Obama told us that again, and I replied, I just said that's a condition of the job,
right.
The job requirement for the president. There will not be a president of either major party who acts in the interest of the masses of people.
Margaret, I really thank you for being on the show. I know you're busy, and I know you've had a long day. Just in case my listeners don't know, can you give your website and, you know, if you have any other information that you'd like my listeners to know?
Sure. Well, our website is Black Agenda Report, blackagendareport.com. We publish every Wednesday, so today we have a new issue. I also have a blog called Freedom Writer. It's on Blogger, freedomwriter.blogspot.com.
Well, Margaret Kimberly, thank you so much for your work and, like I said, taking your time. And I hope to have you on again very soon.
I would love to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Margaret Kimberly. She was an awesome guest. This is Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer and connection to Community Progressive Radio, Don DeBar, my producer, Mikey, and you especially for listening and supporting the show. Please go to the Tour to Peace website, find out where we are. I'll be heading back there. I'll be meeting back up with the tour in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we're going to go on from there. We're over halfway done, and it's just been an amazing experience cycling across the country. So once again, this is Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.